The latest from Band of Horses, that's called Knock Knock, and you can find that on Mirage Rock. Before that, we heard Dinosaur Jr. doing Watch the Corners from I Bet on Sky, some older music from TV on the Radio, that was Halfway Home, and we started off with Wax Fang doing one off of their Mirror Mirror EP. That's a new release. It's out now on Karate Body Records. You're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3. I am Juliet Frumhold, and I am very happy to welcome this evening's guests into the studio. They won the Dayton Band Playoffs this past fall at Canal Street Tavern, and we will be talking about that and so much more. But first, I am going to hand things over to my latex brain for some live music from the WYSO studios.
Your respect, yeah, yeah.
My Latex Brain live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. We're going to be back to hear some more live music from them and to chat with the band. But first, let's check out some of their recorded material. This one is called Blood Elephant. You're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on YSO. Music from My Latex Brain right there. We heard him live a few moments ago. That was the recorded version. And we've got the band here in the studio. I want to welcome Chris, Brian, and Roger. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Let's start off. Tell me a little bit about how the three of you guys started playing together. I mean, I've been seeing you guys out for a long time and, you know, seeing your name on bills. How did this all get started?
Hoops and I were in two separate bands that had played together. I was in Colonel Bleep and Hoops was in Orgy Gone Rumble. And we had just really hit it off and talked about doing a project together. And when we first started, Greg Gosnell, who used to be in Whiff, if you remember them, started out playing drums with us. And then we had Pat Jacobs for a little while, who was in Hoops' old band, Orgy Gone Rumble. And then when Pat moved to Austin, Roger Owsley from Mondolux, who has been one of my favorite drummers in the world forever.
Thanks, Chris.
Had actually come up to me at a party once, and when we had gotten Pat, poked me in the chest with his finger and said, "You didn't even ask me." And he said if anything ever happened with Pat, to give him a call. And it was bittersweet when Pat said he was moving to Austin, because it was a drag because he was leaving. And then the first thing that popped into my mind was, I gotta call Roger.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
He will neither confirm nor deny. Yeah.
So been one happy family since 2005,
for this lineup.
Yes.
When this lineup started playing together, was the sound pretty established already? Roger, were you kind of walking into something that was already formed, or did you guys take that opportunity to sort of experiment and change it up a little bit?
Well, it was funny because it was like being in a cover band, because I really liked them. And I followed him a long time. And I knew all the songs inside and out. So our first rehearsal sounded as good as any show for the most part, other than the getting used to the rehearsal space. So it was a pretty easy fit after that. Our sound evolved. Each drummer kind of brought a new thing, a different thing to the band. And this is kind of what our flavor is currently. So
it's like our signature sound now.
Tell me about some of the influences that have gone into making that signature sound. You know, I hear everything from kind of a hardcore industrial influence to some really experimental avant-garde stuff, a little bit of punk in there. What are you guys bringing into the band, both from stuff you listen to and just stuff you like to play?
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Noam Chomsky. So that's he's probably my biggest influence. Ric Flair, Brainiac.
Being serious,
Our universal connection is definitely Brainiac.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, being
just the spirit,
Daytonian and all.
I can definitely hear that spirit in your sound. A tip of the hat there, a little bit.
Yeah,
but we listen to a bunch of everything. I think all of us kind of, you know. And we all think each other's stuff, you know, some things I like, they both think sucks.
Yeah.
Vice versa, you know.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of singer-songwriter stuff, and they both think that's pretty dumb. No, not really.
Just a little premature. I think you need 20 years older. I think it'll work right.
And Roger listens to all those bands that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, I kind of stay on the edge of... I'm kind of sick of bands by the time more than 100 people have heard of them. So.
By bands no one's heard of, in sort of what realm would you say?
The more extreme direction of where we are, okay. We're definitely pop compared to that realm in a lot of it. And I listen to a lot of stuff that... tons of people like, but I'd say on the whole, if it was left up, we balance each other out, which is really nice, because I'll bring an idea to the table that you need a mathematics degree to kind of decipher, and then Chris will take it because I bark things at him and make him do it, and then Hoop slows the whole thing down and just kind of picks which parts work best that he feels like he can flow with, and it becomes something else. So no matter where the idea generates, it always is a group effort. So it's nice.
Tell me about your writing process. How do you guys flesh this stuff out? Is it just through playing together in rehearsals, or do you have kind of a set way a song comes about?
That's a tough one.
Well, we have experimented with two very specific forms of writing. One is record riffs and ideas and assemble them in the computer and learn to play them, which rarely works out. And then there's just jamming together. Most of the time, everything you're going to hear tonight on the CD and everything came together that way. So.
Cool. Well, let's take a quick break, and we will come right back and talk a little more about some of the recordings and where people can check you guys out live and all that good stuff. And then we'll hear some more recordings and some more live stuff as well. We are live with My Latex Brain. You're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO.
Hello, I'm Vic McCunis, your host for The Booknook on WYSO. Tune in for conversations with authors every week on Fridays at 1:30 and again on Sundays at 11 a.m. That's The Booknook on WYSO, and listen to our podcasts at wyso.org.
We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliette Frumholt, joined once again in the studio by the members of My Latex Brain. And guys, this past fall, you were the winners of this year's Dayton Band Playoffs at Canal Street Tavern. What was that process like, the competition process, if you will?
The weird thing for me is it actually started for me 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Because my first real band that played out, Acme, was in the playoffs in 92. And, well, we were in 92, 93, and 94. And we lost all three times in the first round by one vote.
Oh, man.
And we broke up on the third one, figuring it was finally a sign.
Wow.
In the end, vengeance was his.
So this has been a long time coming for you.
Yeah. And it was good to help out Canal.
Yeah.
To keep people coming in there.
Absolutely. Is it, I've seen in the many years I've been following the playoffs, I've seen it go both ways, where sometimes you've got a band that's been around for a while that goes through the process and comes up winning, and some years you've got all of these brand new bands competing. From your experience as having been a part of the scene already, was that at all weird to hop into the playoffs, where I know the past couple of years it's been pretty new, kind of out of the gate people competing?
Yeah, it was a little strange. I mean, back 15 years ago, you would have 50, 60 bands signed up for it, and it was like ran the gamut. I mean, as far as like ages of bands and such. The past couple years had gotten more to where it was younger bands. I mean, I think that really it's something though that I think the music community needs to, the local music community, I think, needs to support it and maybe not look at it as being something for, younger kid bands. Really, it's for everybody to meet each other, network, develop their own thing, their style, their crowd. I mean, it helps us, a band like us playing with, some younger kids, because they're the people that come to see them get to see us, and they would never get to otherwise. It's just a good thing for the scene, I think, that a lot of people, there's a lot of people that have the wrong, outlook on things in general. And anyway, the playoffs, yeah, it was a little strange just because of the past couple years, but you know, it shouldn't be. Yeah.
It does have to be nice to get kind of thrown in there with all different styles and you know, when I say ages, I don't just mean the players, but ages of bands, and get a chance to sort of see what everybody else is doing in addition to having their audience see what you're doing. That's got to be a really helpful experience, I would say.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, and stylistically for us to actually win the thing was kind of funny, really. But, you know, hey.
Slightly mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, you know. There's
but our fans came out.
Yeah, you know, our friends.
Thank you.
And families. My mom was at every show. So,
yeah. Gotta have the love from the mom there.
Yeah, that's what the playoffs are about, you know, family.
Heck yeah, So looking ahead to this year, do you guys have anything big planned? Are you going to do any recording or what's it looking like?
It's a recording year, for sure. It's been a while since we committed some things, but we want to put some more down and siphon through it and release some vinyl.
Nice.
In smaller chunks and formats so that we can have it out there and other people can hopefully like it as much as... Because I'm kind of a vinyl junkie. I actually had to buy some vinyl at Toxic before I came in tonight.
So. Had to make the rounds.
Had to.
On the way.
Josh actually, and thank you, Josh, he actually kept the store open an extra 20 minutes so I could make it there.
And happy birthday, Josh, if you're listening.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Is when you guys record, do you go into a studio? Or I know, Brian, you're an audio guy. Do you do all the mixing, or how do you guys do that?
The last three CDs I've mixed. We typically record mostly in Chris's kitchen because he has nice high ceilings. So we do most of the recording there, get a big drum sound. We spent years recording in other studios, wasting money with people who didn't really get what we were doing, which, I mean, no offense to them, because what we're doing is a little off the beaten path. So,
Steve Van Etten totally got Ouija, though.
He did, indeed. So once we started, I learned how to do the audio engineering thing because of this band. So that's how we've been rolling. We did win some studio time through the playoffs at Babelfish, and so I think we're gonna at least spend a little time there to, try something new that's not really new. It's old, but new, I guess.
A new process for us.
Experimenting. It's art. It's art.
When you guys record, I mean, since you are doing it yourselves, do you go into that process with everything pretty much set, or since you're doing it and you have sort of the luxury of doing it on your own timeline, do you kind of let things happen and evolve throughout the recording process?
Both.
Yeah, well, I think most of everything we've recorded has been banged out in a day, and then at that point it's just sort of sifting through it, seeing if it needs a double track here and there. My job's always done in the first day.
Indeed.
And so modest.
The vocals, sometimes the lyrics, actually take up to a year and a half per song. So, other than that, it's usually pretty quick and painless.
And as far as once you get some recordings ready and available for public consumption, are you going to try to get out on the road with those at all or stick pretty regional?
We always say we're going to get out.
We say we are. And, with ours, all of us have very really busy schedules, being grown-ups and all. And that's the downside of that part. But, hey, you never know. Like, someone offers us a good opportunity that works for us and someone else. I mean,
We had an interesting opportunity on the Warped Tour a few years back.
Yes.
And I've never seen so many thousands of kids hold their ears and stare blankly at what we were doing. It was kind of cool.
Got a lot of emails from 14-year-old girls the following months after that show. It was pretty cool.
When you're doing
either something, you know, like a Warped Tour with a big audience, or even, you know, a smaller, you know, like a Canal Street or something like that. With having such an experimental bent to your music, I mean, is that kind of an acceptable reaction, both total awe of what's happening and appreciation and total confusion?
We like confrontation.
Yeah.
I do.
People usually run if they don't dig it, you know. And
yeah, I mean, I think all three of us understand that to some people out there, we're a cacophonous mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then there's other people out there that just completely get what we're doing. And it's still really weird to me to look down and see people singing our songs while we're playing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can see that at a Shrug show.
Yes.
But for people to actually be able to understand what Hoops is saying and
get the message.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've been invigorated recently playing a lot of shows with a younger band, Abertooth Lincoln.
Yeah.
And they totally own.
I've been waiting for those guys for like 15 years, yeah. And now yeah. Now they're here.
Now we have another band.
Yeah, that we feel like...
we'll definitely hit the road with them when we do.
Yes, yes, yeah. indeed. Like if the road thing happens in the next year, they will be involved for sure.
Kind of a good musical companion for you guys.
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Completely different and completely same ballpark anyway, you know.
And their new album is great, mm-hmm. And Hoops recorded it.
Yeah, at Canal Street.
Nice.
Yes, yes.
Very nice. Well, if people want to keep tabs on you on these recordings and, you know, and potential live dates and things like that, where can they find you online?
Look us up on Facebook, I guess. That's like the trendy thing to do. They can look us up. We got a YouTube channel. We have a very
out of date website.
So you can go to like our .com or .us and look at something that's will tell you what we did a year ago. But other than that, like, you know, I guess the Facebooks and the YouTubes and the, you know, I'm at Canal Street a lot. So
we have a ridiculous amount of YouTube performances out there.
Yeah. Lots and lots of live stuff.
Yeah. And then Bandcamp, like the various, you know, places like that that you can pay us money to, you know, buy our stuff, which if you want.
That'd be nice.
That's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
I usually give it away.
He does.
Let me ask really quick before we get back to some music about the decision to put it on vinyl. Roger, you said you're a vinyl guy. For you guys, as far as sound goes, do you feel like vinyl is a better way to capture what you're doing, or is it just the fact that it's, you know, a physical representation of this music that you're making?
For me, it's a combination of the physical, and it's literally the only thing that I'd say 99.99% of people can't do on their own in their house. If you look into CD reproduction and the way CDs have gone, even with the big releases, the packaging's a lot cheaper. The experience isn't there like it used to be. Nobody does cool foldouts, and being a designer, it's kind of a letdown. And everybody's into the downloads, and of course the vinyl would come with the downloads, so you're not really missing out on anything. So it's just it's a great physical format, and if you have the right stereo and you have the patience and you sit down with it, you'll understand.
Absolutely. Well, guys, is there anything else people ought to know before they check you out online, or before they sit tight and hear some more music?
Yeah, we will be playing Dayton Does Dayton at Canal Street Tavern, a bunch of Dayton bands covering other Dayton bands, two-day affair. We are playing on Friday night, February 2nd. There will also be February 3rd on Saturday, which Chris is actually playing. Chris will actually be playing both nights. So
marathon weekend.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, let's take a listen to another one of your recordings while we get set for some more live music. This next one we're going to hear is from our guest, My Latex Brain. You can check them out at Dayton Does Dayton, February 2nd. They're playing the Friday. It's also going to be carrying on into the 3rd. We'll get some info up on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Stick around. We've got some more live music coming up in just a moment on Why So.
Resolver!
Music from My Latex Brain. You're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on member-supported 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at WYSO.org. Broadcasting in HD, WYSO is a service of Antioch University for the Miami Valley. You can check out My Latex Brain live on February 2nd. They're playing as part of Dayton Does Dayton. That's February 2nd and 3rd at Canal Street Tavern. We've got some details up on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio, but you do not have to wait until February 2nd to experience My Latex Brain live, because they're right here in the WYSO studios. I'm going to hand things back over to them for some live music.
Yeah, here's the last song for you. This song's about the economic downfall of America.
Happy stuff.
Thanks, everybody.
We hit the ball. You're out of touch with how this all works.
Latex Brain, live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Thank you guys so much. Check them out Friday, February 2nd at Dayton Does Dayton. That's at Canal Street Tavern. It's the 2nd and the 3rd. My Latex Brain will be playing on the 2nd. We've got details about the show. We've got links to their Facebook page. All that good stuff on our Facebook page. We are at facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. And of course, if you want to hear this again, if you missed the beginning, whatever, we'll have it available to stream tomorrow at wyso.org. More music on the way, starting things off with The Secret Machines right now. This is from 10 Silver Drops, and it's called Alone, Jealous, and Stoned. You're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on WYSO.